Broadcasting from USA Swimming's headquarters at the Carolyn Dirks Building in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's time for Kick Set. Join three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel and U.S. National Team Director of Performance Matt Barbini as they host members from the USA swimming community, ranging from age group to Olympic levels of the sport.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. My name is Matt Barbini. I'm the Director of Performance at USA Swimming. And with me, as always, three-time Olympian, fresh off of travels all over the world for surfing and making splashes, Elizabeth Beisel. Beisel, how are you? Do you know what time it is?
Great question. No. Answer is always no, like recently. But no, it was awesome. Just got back from Make a Splash Tour, and we had a blast. And it's really just rewarding to get back to the sport. And I mean, highlight of it for me was I got a kid in the water who had actually never touched water before. Wow. And was getting in, like hyperventilating, shaking. And within 30 to 45 minutes that Cullen and I had him, he was like dunking his head underwater and blowing bubbles. So it's kind of that stuff that like makes all of it super worth it. But yeah, don't know what time zone I'm in, but I'm having a blast. And Barbini, you were awesome. The same. You're fresh off of Mission, right?
Yeah. We closed out our pro swim series last weekend in Mission Viejo. So on to the big selections coming up in a couple of weeks, but it was great. Good opportunity for the West Coast kids to have kind of an easy travel. Southern California weather did not cooperate, so the prelims were a little rough for everybody because it was pretty cold. But the performances I thought were great. Some pretty good signals for what we'll get this summer, but then we'll answer a lot of the big questions coming up in a couple of weeks in Indy.
Yeah. And speaking about signals for the summer, yeah, our two guests will be making signals, and I'm going to let you embarrass them for me, Barbini, because I hate doing this part.
Yeah. So they're going to get off light. So we do have a two for today. Our guests are Nick and Gabby Albiero, national team members from Louisville. I do not have a huge list of accomplishments to read off like I normally do because it's too long. Like if yeah, I were to just go
between
through
between the two of them, how we many simply times? Don't have time.
Yeah. This is not a multi-day podcast. How many times All Americans, how many times NCAA finalists, blah, blah, blah. So they have both had incredible careers. And so we wanted to talk to them leading into nationals. They'll both be there and be players for our team selections this summer. And then also we're in June, which is Pride Month. And we wanted to talk to Nick about his coming out story publicly, and then kind of Gabby, her perspective as a teammate and a sister. It's really a family affair down there in Louisville, which we'll get into. But let's bring them in. Nick and Gabby, welcome to the Kick Set podcast.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for letting us embarrass you.
Yeah, I know. We have so much to cover. Let's just get like the basics out of the way. How is training going, and how are you both feeling heading into nationals this month, now that it's June?
Well, Gabby just came off of her NCAA career. Well, I mean, she's still in college, but she just finished all that. And I was just pretty much grinding through that whole time as a pro now. I went to all those Tier Pro Series meets, and we just raced a couple days in Indy this past weekend. And we're actually getting ready to go to Brazil tomorrow to race in their Brazilian national meet. Yeah. So we get a little bit of international experience there. Plus we get to see our family. My dad's from Brazil, so we get to see our family for a little bit, and then we'll come back and kind of fine tune and get ready for end of June.
Awesome.
That's great. So you guys are both going, what are you swimming down there? What's the meet? Is it their nationals?
Yeah, it's like their selection meet for all the worlds, junior worlds, all that. We have busy lineups, pretty much. It's 5-day meet. We're swimming every single day in the mornings. So we'll have.
Yeah, we're swimming like our main events, at least for me. I'm swimming my main events, and then I'm also doing like 2 IM, 2 free, some random relays. So it'll be fun to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's great. So let's talk about trials a little bit this summer. So we're picking a bunch of teams, and there's really not a ton of brother sister combos kind of at the level that you guys are at. There's not very many that have come through the national team. So let's say best case scenario happens and you guys were to make the same team. Like, what would that be like for you guys to represent Team USA on the same roster? Have you thought about it at all?
Probably cry.
Yeah.
Whoever got it second, or whoever was named second,
yeah,
it would just be like a lot of crying, but like exciting.
And that's something like we've always talked about, just like even when we were kids, was like at one point it was like, oh, well, Nick has a better shot. And then Gabby started building and getting up to this level. And now it's like we're here. And it's really not unrealistic to say that we could both be on a team together. And that would just be like a dream come true. And my mom.
And then on top of that, dad would probably be there.
Yeah, I was going to say my mom would actually probably be in shambles more than my dad.
I mean, she pees her pants every time we race. So that would just put her over the edge.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. I mean, I'm not a mom, but having two kids at that level and having been a coach, and obviously Arthur being the legendary coach at Louisville for you guys, like, I can't imagine the nerves that they feel. And like Arthur probably has to compartmentalize that a little bit as like dad and then act as coach on the pool deck. How does that dynamic work for you guys and Arthur?
Yeah,
definitely. I think for me, my older brother, Stefan, went through the program first. And so he had a lot of advice to give me just on how to go with the relationship. And at first I really thought it was like, okay, when he's at the pool, he's my dad. And when he's not, or when he's my coach, and when he's not at the pool, he's my dad. And I felt like it wasn't until COVID that I realized I see him a lot more at the pool. So it was always like, he's more coach. And I felt like I lost that dad component, which is sad. And then it took me COVID to not have a coach really, and just have, you know, what was important at the time, family. Well, now too, but it took that for me to realize like he can do both. He's very good at compartmentalizing. So hats off to him. But now I see that relationship a little bit more as like dad coach, not just like in one spot, he's dad, one spot, he's coach. Like, I just see him as one. So that way I do get both of those relationships.
Yeah. And like he said, it's a really fine line. And I feel like it's something, if you've never been coached by a parent, that you can't really understand or speak on. And we have a lot of other friends who have coach parents. And so it's kind of fun to like have that bond. Mackenzie Luz and I have talked about it a lot just because it's such a unique thing. But I think everyone kind of goes through it differently. And like he said, he had Stefan, our older brother, and I got both of them to learn from. So I feel like for me, it's probably worked out the best just because I've learned from what worked well for them and what didn't work well. And I think me and my dad do a really good job balancing those.
So he's not like looking at you guys in the kitchen like, oh, going for another cookie. That's going to be a problem tomorrow morning.
Yeah. When we both lived, yeah, at home, it was more like that, especially when we were younger. I mean, my mom and my dad are like two of the best coaches in the country, if not like the world. They know literally every single piece of the sport. And yeah, I think a little bit growing up, it was tough because when you come home from practice, you don't always want to talk about swimming. You just want to.
And they're coaches. So they have a coach's brain, and like that doesn't just turn off. So obviously like they always are going to have that filter. And I think it also is kind of on us to decide when we want to bring things up and what kind of questions we want to ask.
So. Yeah. Like I have ruined a couple holidays just by like simply sliding in something about swimming. And then it turns into like this heated thing, which it wasn't meant to do. Like,
cause we're all so passionate, especially about swimming. So it's hard to like, once you open that book, to kind of like wind it back down.
Yeah.
But I think we're doing better.
Definitely.
Were you guys competitive with each other when you were growing up and with your older brother? Was there like inter-family competition, or was it just kind of, we're all on the same team?
I don't think so, really.
It's more about like, who's the favorite, and it's definitely me.
It's definitely you, Nick. Is that what you said?
I go through waves. Like sometimes I think it's me, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, it's Gabby.
Yep. Definitely not me.
Yeah.
What is it like for you guys when each other races?
We were just talking about this the other day, but he like can't watch me.
I don't watch her swim. Well, I do watch her. Like I just watch her at ACC's and NCAA's. Like when she is swimming, like I kind of do what my mom does. Like my mom will like do the whole race with
us. So like when you turn, when you hit the wall, she's like, oh, and she like moves around.
Yeah. She will like flinch at the start, like make sure you got a good start. So I kind of do that too. Like I learned from her a little bit. So when she's swimming, I'm like having a panic attack. Yeah. And then I guess when I'm
swimming, I'm like, I don't get as bad as them because I just know he's going to do well. Like I was saying this, I'm like, I'm just always confident that he's going to do what he's supposed to do. But I will say at trials, at US trials, I didn't see one lap of that too fly. I was, my friend was next to me and I was just like this because I was like sick. I couldn't even watch. But normally like I watch because I want to learn from him too. And I can like know he's going to do well. So it's different depending on the day.
Yeah. I mean, you guys swim the same events. So do you guys actually talk about the, like the mechanics of like the swimming part? Do you guys talk about swimming a lot or is it kind of like that lives at the pool and we talk about literally anything else at home?
Sure. I think the main thing that I try to help her on is her underwaters.
Yeah.
It's not a weakness, but it's an area she can improve on a lot, especially in the sprint events. So,
and it's the one that he's like the best at. So we
have like a couple minutes at the end of practice. She'll be like, hey, can you watch this turn? Hey, can you watch this start? So we do that a lot. I send her some videos if I can. She'll be like, hey, this is what you should try to emulate when you're, you know, doing underwaters. But she's more sprint focused than I am. So
especially now that he's out of college and that was his first time like being able to watch me at ACCs and NCs. And he could like actually give me some feedback based off of like the field, like, well, when you dive in, Kate is getting ahead of you here, or like giving me tips like that from like a kind of almost a coach standpoint. So I've really valued that recently.
Yeah, but I try not to be a coach because she already has two parents that are like that and a whole coaching staff. So I'm like, I just want to be the big brother that says, good job, you did great, killed it. We can talk about it another time.
Yeah, you're the cheerleader. I love that. Nick, for you, how has the transition from being a collegiate athlete to a pro athlete been for you? I know sometimes athletes that train at colleges maybe find it a little bit more difficult just to kind of separate themselves from the team, but you're still kind of with the team. How has that been for you?
Yeah, it was pretty tough. And I think it was the reason why I took a bunch of time off last summer because I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to be done swimming, but I just didn't know where to go. I have a good small little pro group here. Me and Zach Harding, we train together a lot, and we have another sprinter from Serbia, Andre Barna. He went through the program as well, so there's a close-knit group of us. But I'm really just here because obviously my dad and like the teammates, the training, I get to watch all of these people. I got to swim with a bunch of them actually as I get older through the program, but I have the same friends and I know that this training program has worked for me pretty much my whole life, so it's what's kept me here. And obviously being close to Gabby and my family. So,
yeah. Gabby, you mentioned Mackenzie Lewis. So I just want to real quick ask about dual in the pool and what that experience was like for you. That is, I was there with you. That was the weirdest meet and kind of the wildest environment. So just like your quick take on what that meet was like.
I thought it was so much fun. And I really honestly think we need to find a way to do more meets like that. Like even just in the dual meet setting, things that are just like, make it kind of like a game or something, because we struggle a lot to get spectators to come to swim meets because, you know, it's hot in the pool. Most pools are hot. Yeah. They're long. You have to sit through like a mile. You have no idea what's going on. And we actually went to watch the ACC track and field meet because it was in town. And we were just so confused. We had no idea what's going on. We were like, this is how people probably feel at swim meets. And so like just making it more interactive, like I thought that was so much fun with the, I don't even remember some of the things, but like with the buzzer, like you were always on edge, even the athletes, like I never knew what was going on. I was like, just tell me where to go and I'll do it. So it was so much fun. And I mean, from the whole experience, I just gained so much confidence and obviously a lot of new friends. So I would do it again 12 times. And Australia is like the best place I've ever been to. I think that's all the time.
Yeah. God, they do it right down there. Nick, it's June, it's Pride Month. Let's talk about it. On like a heavier note, kind of, you have come out and you've said that growing up, you were kind of bullied and teased for maybe doing things that were different from your peers. I would love to know what you would say to someone that might be going through that same thing to encourage them that, listen, everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot to unpack, and I don't know if we have like time to do all of that, but before I came out, on top of, you know, worries of, is my parents going to accept me? My family, are they going to cut me off? Are they going to kick me out? You hear these stories. On top of all that, we are both put in Christian school. So I went to a Christian school, middle school, and high school, and they have very, very specific views. And I think just recently, like a year ago, one of their assignments went viral. And it was like in seventh grade, and it was write a letter to a friend who of yours who is the same gender who struggles with homosexuality. And then there was a rubric, and it was like, you have to use three Bible verses to back up your statement. Like, it was just this crazy assignment for a seventh grader who doesn't even know like who they really are. And like, that's the kind of stuff that I dealt with. I never had something like that specific, an assignment like that, but that's how they kind of went about that. So on top of all that, it was tough. And then you have like this stigma with coming out and being a professional athlete. Like a lot of professional athletes don't want to come out, maybe because it's fan view, like they don't want the fans to treat them differently or their teammates. Or there was also a stigma that when you come out, you start not doing as well in your performance. And it really wasn't until I think Erica Sullivan, one of my, I would say close friends, but we talk a lot. After she had already come out, you know, and then she made that Olympic team, got the silver medal. Like, to me, that she broke the stigma. And I owe a lot of credit to her because she was one of the first people I told when I came out to my family. I was like, I did it. I finally did it. Because I told her a while ago. But yeah, what was the question? I'm going on a ramble here.
That was beautiful. I was just going to ask, like, for kids that might be going through what you went through, what would you tell them?
I would say it's hard because I do have somewhat of a Christian mindset background. And so maybe there is somebody watching this or a parent watching this who like is being raised in a Christian home or is raising their children in a Christian home. And then just trying to figure out who they really are with having a Christian mindset, because they're somewhat contradictory. And I just feel like if God really didn't want people to be gay, like he would have made it more known than just including it in a couple of verses in the Bible and like people kind of construing it to how they think it is translated to be, where like, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments, if it was really that important, thou shalt not be gay should be on there, you know? And it's just one of those things where, yeah.
The thing that I take away from what he's saying is like, it's mentioned in the Bible so many times that the greatest of those commandments is love. And through all of this, like, we should just be loving people more, regardless of race, religion, sexual identity, like anything like that. If you truly believe in the Bible and all that stuff, then the greatest of these is love. And so that's where I come from. And
yeah, definitely.
It was never a thing for me. Like, I think he told me, like, just kind of in passing, we were just having a conversation. It wasn't like this big thing because he knew that wasn't going to change one thing for me. And so I think that's just something that I wanted to add.
Definitely. And like, love your neighbor as yourself is one of the most important things that, you know, God said. And why is it so hard to just love everybody for who they are? So I think like that, if you're about to come out or you've been deciding whether you want to or not, like the people who are meant to be in your life will stay there. And for me, I'm so lucky, like my parents support me, my siblings support me, all of my friends support it. I've never really gotten any negative attention or anything like that. So that's good. And I just think when you're ready, go for it. Because the sooner you do it, like the sooner a weight just lifts and you can just be yourself.
And it's like visible. I can remember like around the time when he was deciding to come out to everyone else, like just the way that his personality shifted, and you can almost see like the outward transformation of this weight being lifted off of him. And like, he could just be completely who he is. And like, I still see like this transformation happening. And like, he's more and more just like being his full authentic self. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So.
Yeah. And I this is like getting a little long, but I think I didn't want to have like this huge coming out thing. Like, that's not what I wanted. I really didn't even want to like make it a big deal on Instagram or whatever, but I knew that I was going to be back in the sport. And if I could just help or encourage or inspire at least one person, then I should just do it. And I thought a lot about that decision. I told my parents and my family, I actually like told them during 2021 Olympics, kind of like when mental health was becoming a conversation with Simone Biles, and we were having some deep conversations in Florida just about each of our lives and experiences so far. And I felt that was the time to do it. And so then I thought a lot about it. I came out a year later when I was in a relationship at the time, just because I knew it was going to start being a thing. And I feel like the people around me and the people close to me already knew, but, you know, maybe for a fan or somebody watching my swimming career who doesn't really know me, I just thought that was important. And then I can hopefully, you know, inspire a generation of kids who are going through the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I know you are, because I have your Instagram pulled up, and I love how cheeky the post was, because like the caption is out and about, like, so just nonchalant. Yes. And like you said, not a big deal. But one of the comments is, as a club coach, I thoroughly appreciate you in this post. I just recently had a swimmer come out to me, and representation like this from an elite swimmer is so important. All the love to you. So yeah. Kudos to you, because I know it's not easy, and you may make it seem like it's easy, but it's a tough conversation, and it's a tough thing to do, and it takes a lot of courage. So you are making a difference, which is really, really cool.
Thank you. And yeah. That I get DMs like that almost every day, just from club coaches, from club swimmers, just saying like, hey, like, I've been following your career. Like, I love what you're doing for the community. And that picture was actually at my first Pride Festival in Louisville. Gabby went with me.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. Like, we just...
Tell us about it.
Yeah, we just have to see, like, I mean, people go crazy. Like, that outfit for me was like, I don't really go that route. But I was like all up in rainbows, and just seeing everybody like be their authentic selves, and everyone was just celebrated. Like, there was no judgment. And then Gabby had fun. We ate salads. we just had a good time. And since then, I've partnered with JP Davis, who he has a firm, JP Davis Partners, and I've gotten to go to a gay polo league tournament in Florida, which was crazy. And me and Zach actually were special guests at a Derby Diversity Week party, Wigs and Kicks. So we had like a wig party. Gabby went to that one too.
It was so fun.
So I've just gotten to like do these fun events for the community and like represent a group of people or athletes. And it's just been so fun. And I feel like that's when I am fully myself. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that is freeing for you to kind of be able to be in the, not just out to your friends and your family, but kind of in the community and interacting in ways that are fun, but also can be impactful? You know, like you said, you get DMs every day. Like, that has to feel like an awesome opportunity that you have just sort of by where you are, both in the sport and publicly.
Yeah, it means everything. I'm doing what I've always done, but just a little bit more myself, and my shoulders are a little bit less heavy with the weight. And so I walk around with my head up. Like, I used to be so scared if somebody was like, oh, are you gay? Like, kind of outing me to my, like, before I even was out. And that was like my number one fear. And now if somebody is trying to like insult me by saying like, oh, you're gay, well, we know.
Thank you. Captain Obvious.
Yeah, you know. So it's just things like that. And I'm like not as scared to like interact with people or have them assume things about me.
Yeah. I know that obviously the next few weeks are going to be very busy in terms of swimming, but are you going to be able to celebrate Pride in any way? Like, are there any events that you're going to actually get to go to?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the Pride, we should be able to go. I don't know what the date is, but it was the middle of June. So hopefully we'll be back for that. And then with my sponsor, JP, there's a couple parties that are going to be thrown, just like celebrating the community. So yeah, hopefully I'll be able to, but yeah.
Gabby, would you go?
Duh. It was
plus one. Yes. She's like, obviously.
Bedazzled. We had like bedazzles on. Yeah. I love any excuse to dress up. Like, I'm all over that. Whatever.
And like, when I tell you there's like no judgment, like, you can literally wear anything you want.
Or nothing.
Yeah. I'm picturing it being like the You Need to Calm Down music video.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, everywhere, drag queens.
Yes.
Like, the whole thing. And like, people just are smiling and so happy. Like, they literally don't care, like, where you've come from, what you identify as. Like, it's just such a freeing environment to be in. So it's been really cool. It's been a fun, like, year of stuff and for the community.
So Gabby, being siblings, but then also spending more time together than probably normal siblings do because you're training together all the time. What was it like to kind of watch this transition happen? And, you know, were you... like, how was that? Were you kind of like aware of what was going on, or were you just trying to support however you could? Or
yeah, like I said, we had kind of talked about it, like, just in a normal conversation. I don't even know if you remember it, outside of Con Huevos in the car.
I do remember that.
Very specific.
It wasn't like a happy conversation, actually. Yeah, it was like, it was just,
he just like threw it in there and like
threw it in there.
It wasn't a thing. Like, I was just like, cool, next, you know, like, it wasn't a big deal. And that was like probably almost a year or more before he came out to our family. And we didn't really like talk about it again, because I think he also wasn't really like focusing that much about it, because he was so focused on a swimming career. Like, it wasn't this whole like self-exploration, because there was just not time.
There was
for that.
No time to like dabble in relationships, really.
So I think he was also trying to figure it out. And so I never asked questions, because again, like, I didn't care to that extent. And so when he told our family, I remember so vividly, like, we were in the pool of our like vacation house that we were at, and we were talking about Simone Biles's like mental health stuff. My mom was just like, we were all just feeling questions. Very deep. And my mom was like, have you guys ever struggled with anything like that you felt like you couldn't tell us? And I look back at the moment.
Stefan went first.
Yeah, our oldest brother was speaking. He had like a big health
replacement
thing as a child. And so like, that was kind of his part that he wanted to share. And me and Nick like made eye contact, and he said that he didn't like, he wasn't looking at me for confirmation, but I felt he was like looking at me like, should I do it? And so I'm like looking at him like, yeah, like, do it,
now's the time.
Yeah, I was like, and so like he did, and it was like, I just thought it was such a beautiful moment, and like, we were all crying. I think at that point everybody in the family knew, and it was just kind of like when he had decided he wanted to share with us. And so we all were kind of like just relieved for him that he could finally get that off of his chest and just like be out in the open with everyone. And so since then, obviously, you know, he had a relationship, and that was so much fun just to like see that side of him, because I had never seen him in a relationship before. And he's gotten to see me through some of mine and like heartbreaks and relationship struggles. And so it's kind of fun to be like on the other side of it now, and like to give him relationship advice and stuff like that. And like I said, just like seeing him transform, and like the word that comes to mind is like bloom, just into who he's always supposed to be. And so it's just been so fun and just a beautiful process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this question is going to be easy for you both to answer, because you have such a beautiful relationship. But what is your favorite part about being each other's sibling, and then favorite part about being each other's teammates?
Ooh, okay. Well, being teammates is easy, because it's so fun, first of all. And second of all, like, I can see her put in the work, like, she grinds. And then on top of that, just watching her compete and seeing all the hard work pay off. As a sibling, I think some of our funnest moments are just not even at the pool. They're just in the car, singing, blasting music, shopping. We used to have, I guess we haven't done one in a while. Yeah. We have like sibling days where it's just us. It's not our older brother.
The brother, but he,
or Stefan.
Some of the siblings.
Family. Yeah. He has a wife. He has a baby coming soon. And like, he doesn't need us. So like, she's just a fun person to be around.
No, we have so much fun together. Like, my boyfriend even says that we're like annoying when we're together. And that like, if the three of us, because he's also friends with my boyfriend, so if the three of us like will go do something, my boyfriend feels like the third wheel. Because we just have so many like inside jokes.
Yeah.
And we just have so much fun together. And I feel like those are like the best moments and memories of my life, or just the times that me and Nick and also our other brother and just my family in general, like, we just have so much fun.
Yeah.
And then as a teammate, like he said, for me, I love when he's swimming. Like, we had ACCs my, I guess, your fifth year. Mm. It was combined. And so we got to be there together. And for him to win, like, his fifth year in a row. And I, every time he wins or does something cool, I'm just screaming, like, that's my brother. That's my brother. Like, I'm so
annoyed. That's awesome.
Like, it's so much fun. So, and I brought a poster that
you said. Oh, yeah.
It said, I'm Nick's
sister. Well, then I did the same thing. Oh. It's, she brought a poster to my last meet at NCAA. No,
this is the joke. Like, swim articles or whatever, it happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Where people are just like, Nick Albiero and his sister. Like, I'm always Nick's sister.
Yeah.
Or will be Arthur's kids or something.
Yeah.
We usually don't get the full name. And so we used to be like, that could be seen as like kind of offensive that I'm just like Nick's little sister. Yeah. But I'm like, no, that's sick. Like, I want to be Nick's sister. And so when I came to surprise him for his NCAAs, his last one, that's why I had that poster. And then he got to come watch me at my NCAAs and he made the poster too. So it's just like a cute little joke that we have. That's super fun.
I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm Gabby's brother. Yeah.
Now I'm like, what should we title this podcast? Like, whose name do we use?
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Just maybe we put just like whatever your grandparents' names are. Like grandparents, grandkids of
Bob and Linda. That's a great idea.
Bob and Linda's grandkids.
Yes.
Yeah, Nick, you're kind of like you're actually going to be a little bit of a trivia question now, because I don't know if very many people have won five conference championships in one event.
Our teammate at the
time. Yeah, my teammate Evgeny Somov, he won the 100 breast five times in a row. Which it would have gone had it not been combined. He would have been able to like do it first because of the event lineup. 100 breasts fell before the two fly. Mm-hmm. But our fifth year happened to be combined, complete schedule change. Two fly was the same night as the 100 breasts, but it was first. So I joke around with him like, oh yeah, I was the first one to do it.
Yeah. I had like 20 minutes on you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, 20 minutes. So
the time is the time.
That's like twins, like the one that's older.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I'm 6 minutes older than you.
I'm older.
Oh man.
Awesome. All right. Should we do some social kick, Basil?
Let's do some social kick.
All right. So we get social kick as we get some questions from listeners that chime in on Instagram. So the first one is from Brooke E. What age did you decide to commit to swimming and why?
Oh,
I think that swimming committed to us.
Yeah, he's in your house. Did you have a choice?
Yeah, no choice.
Yeah.
Having coaches as parents. Obviously, we were always going to know how to swim just for like
safety.
Yeah, like a swimming life skill. But I think probably just early on, we realized we were good at it because, you know, we had like 8 and under records or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think more than that, it was just fun. I know Nick played a lot more sports. I really just did swimming and volleyball, which I love volleyball. I thought I was going to do a dual sport college athlete, but it's okay. And so I think just that we loved it and that we were good at it was a combination. And that something I still love about swimming is that even like the best in the world have something that they can do better. So there's never like a peak, like you can always do something better. And so even when we were like the best in our state or for our age group or whatever, that really didn't mean a lot because there was still so much more to find out. So that didn't really answer the question, but
I don't know.
I don't know the age.
Probably once I got to middle school, I think, because I played like baseball and like basketball for my church like as a little kid. But I think once it was like you kind of have to choose a route here, I think it was when like I chose swimming.
Because there does come an age when like swimming is all or nothing and there's no like missing practices. Maybe like another sport you could kind of do multiple, but with swimming you have to be all in. So I think I'd say like middle school is around the age when you kind of have to decide if that's what you fully want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a fun one from Jenny L. What is the easiest race in swimming?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I want to say 53 because it's the fastest. And some but the thing is, though, the 53 is one of the most aggravating. I don't even swim it that much, but like I did on some relays and like you feel like you're going as fast as you can, as hard as you can. And then you end up like not even going that fast and it doesn't hurt at all. So like, it's frustrating for me because like, I don't have that. But I would say that's the easiest.
50 fly, long course, long course. Short course, I'm still gonna go 50 free, but long course, I'd say fly because at least for me, butterfly just takes so much less like pain than like freestyle. Yeah, like it's kind of just a flow. It might not be that fast, but I'd say it it hurts less.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you get into the rhythm of it. There's like more of like a rhythmic flow to the stroke.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's pretty fast. It's pretty fast too, Gab. I don't know if you're going to put yourself down.
What would you all say for the easiest event?
I would say 53 or, 400 IM. Jesus. Maybe like 100 IM. I mean, I don't think it's like, I just think 25 of each stroke, you know, that's like kind of fun, you know? What about you, Barbie?
Did you ever have 4 IMs that weren't painful, or how, or were they every time they were painful?
There have been a few that I think every one is painful, but I will say it was like clockwork. Like if I was prepared physically for the 400 IM and I looked myself in the mirror and I had done all the hard work, it really wasn't as bad as like what people say it is. I would also argue, like, unpopular opinion, but a long course 200 free, 200 fly, 200 back, like 200 of any of those strokes for me was way harder than a 400 IM. Like 200 fly long course, no thank you. I'm all set. Like that's all you, Nick. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's all yours.
That's all yours.
I said that because there's been some like two flies, especially short course, that like they're painful, but not as bad as some of the other ones.
So. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
Before I am worked.
don't ever learn.
Ouch.
Just leave it there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Let it sit with
Arthur, Nick, and Gabby will not be swimming the 400 IM.
Yeah, we know.
Heard it right here. I know he's
signed that.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
Probably not first. I think it's been set that they're not doing that. Yeah. All right. So from Everett O, what do you do to improve underwater dolphin kicking? And I guess this is probably directed at Nick since he's teaching Gabby how to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can answer those.
Yeah, you can answer.
Yeah, of course.
I'm actively like working on them still. It's been like since I've gotten to college, it's like the only thing I work on. I'm so tired of them, but they still aren't that great. So I think the biggest thing is just like watching other people do it and like asking. Because everyone will kind of tell you something differently and sometimes it doesn't click, but one of them will, or like someone will tell me something about their feet and I'm like, what? And then I do it. And then I'm like, wait. So I think just like asking people around you who are really good at them, watching them do it, just like even in the middle of practice, I'll just like go underwater and just kind of like creep and see what everyone's doing. And then I'll ask Nick and like then have him watch me and tell me what he thinks. And just getting a lot of different opinions can help you find maybe one thing that'll click.
Yeah,
I think for her, a lot of times she's like stays super flat, not to like roast you right now, but she stays pretty flat. Or like I try to think about the chest press and like, no, I don't move my arms as much. Like I know there's some people that do and that works for them. But for me, it's like the more still my hands and my arms are, like the more I can chest press. And then I kind of work off that.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that some people's like not every stroke is going to work the same. So like you can watch 10 people underwater and they might all be different. And so it's not necessarily like I need to do what Sarah Storystrom's doing. Like I need to do what's going to make me go the fastest. So I think just playing around with different ones. And again, just like asking people stuff like that.
Yeah. That's such a tricky dolphin kick is a tricky thing because everybody's flexibility. How much can you move in your lower back? How stable can you hold your upper body? Like all of those things make it pretty hard to be like, well, here's how I do it. So you should do it this way. It just doesn't really work that way. So it is definitely like find a way that works for you.
And like, to me, I'm like, no, just do it like this. And like some people like they can't. So like I get frustrated at that sometimes. And I'm like, okay, I tried, you know, like
I did my best.
I tried.
It's like, you know?
Yeah.
Like breaststroke. It's just like,
oh yeah, that one's even
that's a whole other thing. Really we don't need to go down that road.
It's hard. Yeah. That's all right. Last one. This one's from Mom, but we already talked about it.
Mom.
But we already We already answered the question, so I'm going to ask it anyway, though, because we can't skip mom's question. What is it like to watch each other at meets?
She asked that because we talked about it. That was like yesterday that we were talking about it, but we'll just talk about her since we already answered.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, great. I was going to say, let's blame mom a little.
She'll pee her pants.
I think it's like 100%. Like every time we race, I think she pees her pants every time.
Like she'll do like the running in the stands too.
She can sit. No, she's like, if there's like a railing kind of, she's like walking the distance with us.
Yeah. So turning with you, like.
No, like full.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like anyone sitting next to her is like, ooh. Oh.
But we need to get NBC to get like a camera just for your mom.
Yes.
I'm going to be looking for this now when we're in Indy.
I know.
Nick is racing and I'm like I can't be
near her. Yeah.
When Nick's racing, because it'll just make it worse for me.
It stresses you out too.
Or if you're not doing great, she's like, and it just like, she adds to it and I can't be near her.
All right, mom, you've been called out.
We love you. Thank you, mom.
Sorry, Amy, if I didn't mean to tear you up like this.
No, she's the best.
Yeah.
They love you. Thank you so much for the conversation. This was a blast. And thank you so much for sharing so openly about your experiences. And I do think kids that are listening to this that are in similar positions will benefit greatly from hearing from you. And good luck with everything, swimming and not. And we look forward to seeing you guys in a couple weeks. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And if you're listening to this and want to reach out, like my DMs are open. So thank you so much. We had fun.
Amazing.
Go card. Yeah.
Go card.
Throwing a little L. Yeah.
Throw the L.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was awesome.
That was fun.
Thanks again to Nick and Gabby. Basil, that was an incredible conversation. Their relationship is so beautiful and remarkable and admirable, and just the support that they have for each other, and just like sort of the friendship that they have too. It's just like, that is really cool to see.
Yeah, like all encompassing, brother, sister, teammates, friends. Like, I'm like, man, I gotta reach out to my brother and get closer to my brother.
Like I had the same thought.
Right? Like I thought I was close to my brother, and after interviewing them, I'm like, no, I'm not close to my brother.
No. And like people that spend that much time together, it's like, I feel like a lot of times they end up not being super close, and like they just like such an awesome relationship to be able to spend like, you know, that many hours a day together in the pool, in the car, at home. Like it's really cool. And yeah, I'll have to give my sister Sarah a call.
Yeah, I know. So everybody listening, call your sibling or your siblings. But I mean, like just to go off of what you said about supporting each other, I just feel like the entire family has such a great grasp on what each kid needs or what each parent needs and how to compartmentalize parenting and being a coach and being a teammate and a sibling. It's just, it's really inspiring. And that was so cool to get a glimpse of like behind the curtain of what the Albiero family is like. So thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah. And it just is crazy to like swim for your parents, live with your parents, swim with your sibling, live with your sibling. Just like that dynamic is so interesting and unique. And then for it to go all the way to the national team level, like this two kids on the national team, like this little micro segment of the swimming community, like they both get there. It's just crazy. It's really an amazing accomplishment. It's such a cool testament to their family and their program and everything they're doing down there.
Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. We get to watch them in a couple of weeks at Nationals.
We get to watch them in a couple of weeks, which is a perfect segue into our plug to follow everything going on in Indy. So Nationals start June 27th. They run through July 1st. USSwimming.org will be obviously all over this. We are picking teams for the World Championships, Pan American Games, World Junior Championships, and the Len Under 23 Championships. So lots and lots of opportunities to see people make teams. Lots of great racing. Trials meets are the absolute best because it is head-to-head racing for pretty high stakes and pretty awesome opportunities for those that get out of that meet. But it's high pressure. It's high intensity, and it's super fun. It's my favorite part of the job by far is these selections. This is why I'm still in this. So everybody make sure to tune in and follow all our coverage.
I cannot wait. I'm going to be there. And it's now my favorite meet because I don't have the stress of being an athlete anymore. So I just get to watch and have fun.
That's right.
So I agree, Barbini. These meets are the best.
Totally recognizing that when you're an athlete, it is the worst.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. But I totally agree. It's, I mean, even as an athlete, though, I will say, like, there's something special about a US trials. We do it right. Like, it really brings out the best in all of us. And I think there's something to be said for that. So as nerve-wracking as it is still really fun as an athlete.
And when you're not an athlete, it's just an awesome show.
Exactly.
Yep.
See you there.
All right, Baza, we'll see you there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Like, subscribe, and follow everything that we're doing at USA Swimming, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you for listening to Kickset with USA Swimming. Head to usaswimming.org for more episodes, and make sure you subscribe to Kickset wherever you get your podcasts.